Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Boston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and their newest location, Waupaca, Wisconsin. And they are the highest rated hearing healthcare clinic in the state. ProfHearingCare.com is the website. I'm Dan Small. Today we'll learn what it takes to become a competitive ski jumper and hear what's up for February at the Range of Richfield. All that and more, including this week's giveaway, coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham. They were named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal, and it's happened year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm joins me again from his home in Wisconsin Rapids. Jeff, the weather has been kind of crazy, kind of cold. Have you been out at all?
I haven't been out doing anything recreationally. No, it's the few times that I've wanted to get out, weather hasn't been really agreeable to enjoying yourself. I mean, I have fished in just about everything you can think of in the wintertime, but that doesn't mean I want to go do it. A lot of times those were opportunities during a tournament or something where you're part of the tournament, so you're going to go, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So what have you been up to?
Well, you know, a lot of stuff around the house still, you know, lots of projects trying to get that honey-do list done before we get to springtime and wanting to go do stuff outside. But I have had a couple of foresters come through my property because I've got some less desirable timber on the property that's about at the end of its lifespan. Some old jack pines from jack pine plantings, some red pines that probably should have been thinned 20 years ago and they just weren't. So I've got a lot of those that are, if we start taking them out now, they're likely going to kind of blow over because they're just not strong trees. You know, they weren't created that way anymore. Yeah. I'm looking to get the jack pines removed and a couple of stands of red pines removed to allow some regeneration. A lot of the jack pines are so, grown up now that there's zero ground cover to them, and it's all overstory. And so, you can look quite a ways into the woods, and you see the lack of understory that's available there. And I've got some young white pines that want to try to break through. I certainly, living where I live, we've got a lot of black oaks that would love to thrive, but they're struggling to get there when it comes to battling for sunlight and things like that. And you know, the jack pines they're fine, you know, when they're younger, but when they start getting older and tall, they're not the strongest tree. So living in this area for the course of time that I have, I've just noticed that just about every big storm that comes through, I've got jack pine tops and trees that have blown over or broken off. And the real bad part about that is not only does the jack pine now suffer and just stand there, and I've got a bunch of them, it's not like I'm lacking wildlife trees, is that oftentimes they fall and break or damage a lot of the black oak around here. And if that happens between April and June, which is the majority of our storms, I suppose, big wind storms, thunderstorms, things like that, it opens up those black oaks to oak wilt, which is really prevalent around here. And so you get the jack pine that falls. Now that jack pine is, you know, worth less than it would have been if it was standing. It's not providing much of anything. And now you've damaged black oaks and you've spread some oak wilt. It kind of ends up just growing into a really big issue if they're not being managed. And some of these jack pines, many of these jack pines are just too big for me to handle. And the woods are too, it's too crowded for me to really start dropping trees with a chainsaw as inexperienced as I am. You know, somebody with experience probably could come in here and do a good job. So I've had a couple of foresters come in, and walk me through the process of, possibly selling that timber as, pulp wood and, maybe some bolts. There are some, large, tall jack pines that are nice and straight. And of course the red pines are nice and straight and all of that. And so, you know, I think it's something we're going to go through and do. What I don't want, Dan, is I don't want to have any remorse once those trees are gone, because you can't put them back, you know, and the woods are going to look different for a period of time. But I'm not planning on taking out any of the oaks, unless we've got some damaged ones that are already standing there. We'll allow them to take them. I'm not doing this so that I can harvest timber at a later time. If that's something I get to do another time in my life, that's fine. This is really for a timber stand improvement, and allowing that regeneration that's not happening to happen. And get a little bit of, diversity going as well. The white pines that want to go, the oaks that want to go, the briars, and the variety of other native, plant species that want to grow up.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a smart move. I know what you mean about remorse. Once a tree is cut, you can't put it back up. But if you have advice from foresters and there is some timber value there, whether or not there's timber value there, there will be an opportunity to do the wildlife habitat plantings that you've talked about earlier, on earlier shows. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a positive result. It may look like a war zone for a year or so, but you know, it's probably the best thing to do. When we moved here, we had Amish folks come and thin out the spruce and both the red and white pine that we had on our hillside, and they made lumber and they built a barn for us. And now we pasture our sheep in the warm summer months in the shade of that hillside that still has some pine trees there, and they left the hardwood. So I think you've got something to look forward to there. So sounds like a great project.
Yeah, and you know, so far it looks like the project would pay for itself. We're not in it for the timber money. We are just simply in it because I think it's going to be best management practice for our land.
There you go. Well, last weekend I went to the All Canada show in Green Bay for my second seminar in 75 years of Canadian adventures. They had a great turnout at that show despite the cold. I got there just after the show opened, and I couldn't find a parking spot. I drove around and finally ended up parking at the hotel there at the other end of the Oneida Casino Complex. And anyway, I had a great turnout and met some folks who are really fired up about Canada, and some who might be joining me on my trip to Lake of the Woods later this year. So that was a great time. And, you know, there are a number of ice fishing events coming up in February. The big one is Max Zaruba's Hardwater Freaks outing. It's on Okauchee Lake next Saturday, the 7th, from 2 to 9:30 p.m. You can search Hardwater Freaks annual event to get tickets, and you can find them on Facebook, too. Hardwater Freaks is their label on Facebook. Well, this week's giveaway is a Dex Fingerlight and carrying case. It's worth $60, folks. To enter the drawing, call 414-297-7554 or email dsoradio@gmail.com. Coming up, Matt Coyler, announcer and coach for Snowflake Ski Club in Westby, tells us what it takes to become a competitive ski jumper and how the heck they score and judge ski jump tournaments. And Jim Bobbiash announces February classes and events, including a Valentine's Day special at the Range of Richfield. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Pheasants Forever's National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic is coming to the Minneapolis Convention Center on the weekend of February 20th. Join us for puppy and dog training seminars, a youth village for kids, hunting seminars and gear, and more than 400 exhibitors. It's National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, the weekend of February 20th, presented by Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, and Federal Ammunition. For more information, log on to pheasantfest.org.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. The Range of Richfield is your ultimate shooting experience. They're located on Helson Drive, and that's just north of the Richfield Cabela's store, where highways 41 and 45 divide, and also on the web at therangewi.com. And joining me once again for our monthly conversation about what's going on at the range is Range of Richfield President Jim Bobbyash. Jim, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Hi, Dan. It's great to be chatting with you again. I always look forward to these times we can talk about what's going on in the range and talk about what's going on in your life and what's going on with the world.
Yeah, and speaking of my life, how about your life? Happy birthday to you this week.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that.
Got a big party planned?
No. Those days are over. I'm just going to stop and pick up some brisket on the way home, and that's how we're going to celebrate.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh? And we got a guy that really, really knows how to do barbecue, and it's just outstanding.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Well, he's a great guy.
Enjoy it. Well, how was January? Did you go to the SHOT Show this year?
No, unfortunately, we did not go. We haven't gone for the last couple of years. It's a lot of walking, a lot of talking, and a lot of money. We have our scouts let us know what's going on. And then they send us all the new brochures on the new products and practices. It's not as much fun as being there, but it's also not as expensive as being there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, how was January at the range?
January was a great month. Our men's league and bullseye leagues are going very strong, and the group is having a lot of fun with all the creative targets that Jason keeps coming up with. It's a nice close group, and they have a great time together, so we're really proud to have them all here.
And when you say creative targets, for example?
Well, he'll take a target, all right, and then he'll put points on it. If you hit this particular spot or that spot, you get points, and then the guy with the most points is obviously the winner.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a little challenging. It's better than just having a target, period.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and this is new classes month, I think, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, it is. Now that we have the new year, we start over with our classes. We took a little break during the Christmas holidays, and now we're starting to fire up everything again. We have some of our favorites back. We've got our next concealed carry class, and that's going to be February 15th. The cost is only $75, and that's a real deal, knowing the quality of our instructors. And once you've finished a class, you get 30 minutes of free range time.
Oh, very good.
Another popular class is our NRA instructor course. This is a two-day course, and it's going to be on 21st and the 22nd, and it's from 8 until 5, both days, and it'll be an hour for lunch. Again, this is a pretty intense class, but it's really good. Our instructor is extremely knowledgeable, and I know that anybody and everybody that's taken it has really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and then you have a basic pistol class quite often. Do you have that going on this month?
Yes, February 7th and 8th. If you're interested in the instructor course, you have to take the pistol class before you can get into the instructor course.
Ah.
So it's kind of a two-step process, but it's been working out extremely well that way.
Okay. So you've scheduled it 2 weeks ahead, which is good. All right. And, of course, people can sign up online or in person, right?
Absolutely. We made it real easy to do it online, so it's not a problem.
Okay.
Before we go any further, I have to say that the feedback I get from the individuals that take these classes has been extremely positive, and everybody makes nice comments about the instructors. And that, to me, is really important, because if you're going to come in and take a class and not only just enjoy it, but you get something out of it, you know, that's our goal here. So they do a good job, and I got to say kudos to those instructors. They're great.
There is a difference between a range officer and a drill sergeant. And I speak without having the experience of a drill sergeant, except through television and movies.
You know, the range officers, they're important, in my opinion, because they keep an eye on everybody. And if there's somebody doing something that's wrong, they just, you know, tell them, hey, let's not do it that way anymore.
Yeah.
Or sometimes he has to yell at them. Well, we already had to kick one guy out because he was just being belligerent.
Oh.
But that's, in 11 years, it's only happened once.
Only once. That's good.
Only once, which is great. Well, and we got a group of really great people that come in here.
Yeah.
You know, they know guns, they love guns, and they like being together. So, again, it works out extremely well.
Yeah. Speaking of love and guns, Valentine's Day falls on a Saturday this year, the 14th, of course. What do you got going for Valentine's Day?
Well, we have our annual Sweetheart Valentine's Day special. Come in and shoot, and you'll get a free Valentine's Day target. So a lot of the ladies and gentlemen, come on in and have a great time. So come on down and show your sweetheart that you love her.
Have you had a lot of couples come for the Valentine's Day shoots?
You know, a lot depends on what day it is, and a lot depends on what the weather is, okay?
Yeah.
There are times that we get really busy, and there are times that it gets kind of slow. It's kind of a mix. I can't really put my finger on exactly why, but it doesn't matter. Whoever shows up with one or 10 or 100, all here have a good time.
Yeah, very good. All right, and how about safes?
Well, if you're thinking about getting a safe, don't know where to start, this would be a great time to come in and find out the ins and outs about the safe business. The, you know, the terms, the sizes, the fire ratings, the security levels, financing, and most of all, how to get it home.
Yeah.
We have at least 60 safes in stock ready to ship, and I have another trailer full coming. We've had several good safes on sale, so be sure to stop in and take a look. I'd be happy to help you out.
All right. And what are your hours this month?
Well, the hours are same as usual. We're closed on Mondays, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 9:30 until 7. Friday, it's from 9:30 until 5. Saturday, from 9:30 until 5. Sunday, from 11 until 4. Now, this week, Sunday, February 8th, we're going to be closing at 3 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock. We have someone special here that is going to have a very special day on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh.
So we're kind of combining the two together, and we're looking forward to having the whole family come over and make it a really good time for that somebody special who happens to be my wife.
Oh, very nice. Two birthdays the same week, huh? That's remarkable.
Well, you know what's really remarkable?
Huh.
The birthday started on the 24th.
Yeah.
No, actually, the 21st. That's Kelly. That's Josh's wife.
Yeah.
Then the 24th is my daughter, Jennifer.
Yeah.
The 25th is my sister, Kathy. Then the 29th is me.
Yeah.
All right. And then on the 4th is my brother, Bob. The 8th is my sister's birthday. And I forgot Nick. Nick's is on the 7th of February.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a huge group right in there.
And Pam's is on the 8th as well.
Pam's is on the 8th as well, correct.
Remarkable, yeah. That makes it easy to celebrate. Just have one big party, huh?
You know what's really ironic? When I was 50, okay, we had a party just like this, and that was on a Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, there you go.
I know, pretty cool.
Well, I hope your team wins.
I don't know which one I want yet.
Yeah, right. My team's not in it, but anyway. And you have products if people are looking for accessories, all kinds of stuff available, right?
Absolutely. Our shelves are fully stocked. Our people are all brought up to date with what's new and everything else. We love to talk about guns. If you're not in a market to buy anything, that's fine. Just come on in and take a look at what's new, and we can help educate you, and maybe there's something that you're going to want in the future. So come on down.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks so much for talking with us and giving us a lowdown on what's coming up in February. And happy birthday to you and Pam and everybody else there. It seems like everybody's having a birthday in the next week or so.
Well, thank you very much, Dan.
You're quite welcome, Jim. Folks, that was Jim Bobiash. He is president of the Range of Richfield. They are located on Helson Drive, just north of the Richfield Cabela store. That's where Highways 41 and 45 split. You can also find them on the web at therangewi.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
You're listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Westby, Wisconsin, located in the heart of the Driftless region, is home to one of the biggest ski jumping facilities in the United States, Snowflake Ski Jump. And next weekend, Snowflake will host the 103rd annual Snowflake Ski Jumping Tournament. Their website, where you can learn more, is snowflakeskiclub.com. And joining me now is Matt Coyler. He is a ski jumping coach and the announcer, actually the voice of the Snowflake Ski Jumping Tournament. And he began jumping at the age of 8, if you can believe that. And a lot of people start young here in Southwest Wisconsin. He was on the U.S. ski team for 2 years. He skied in World Cup and World Cup B events. And he is the junior ski jumping coach for the Snowflake Ski Club. He's also a national judge and a national technical delegate. And he's been announcing at Snowflake tournaments for 20 years. And he's also announced at other big tournaments in Lake Placid, New York, Iron Mountain, Michigan, and elsewhere. And he's just back from Estonia. We'll ask him what he was doing there at the men's and women's combined World Cup. Well, Matt Coyler, welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're quite welcome. Last week, we spoke with Kathy Friedland. She is the event coordinator for the ski club, and she told us all about the tournament coming up next weekend, and that's on County Highway P, folks, if you don't know where it is, a few miles west of Westby, with events starting Thursday night with a greet and meet opportunity, and then jumping on Friday and Saturday, all kinds of good things going on there. But let's talk about the terminology in ski jumping. There's the hill, obviously, and something called the in run. What exactly is the in run?
These are really good questions, Dan, because one of the things when you come down to the Westby Snowflake Ski Tournament, that's one of the things that I try to make sure that people understand is the sport. But to give everybody kind of a sneak peek, you know, with the Olympics coming up and everything like that, the in run is actually the ramp part of the hill before they come to the takeoff, before they launch themselves into the air.
Okay.
That's where all the fun begins, I guess we could say.
Yeah, okay. And then there's the flying through the air part, and then they land, and what do you call the landing area?
Well, it's the landing hill, but I know we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the details in ski jumping, but one of the things that those skiers try to land with their feet apart, it's called telemark landing, and they actually get more points from the judges for that. It's actually there to help absorb the landing, but also there's an aspect of style with the sport to really reinforce that it's not just distance they're looking at for the sport. It is style, too.
Yeah, okay, and we'll talk about that. Now, before we do, I was at the top of the in run years ago for a training session at the ski hill at Derricus Recreation Area in Rome, Wisconsin, and the jumpers were telling each other to have one. What's that all about?
You know, there's a deep camaraderie in the sport, whether you're coming from the UP of Michigan, Lake Placid, New York, like you mentioned, Alaska, we have clubs, Steamboat Springs. It's a small community, and what it is just a greeting between skiers to say, hey, we're all up here having a good time, have one, because if you're having one, that means everybody's having a good time, and that's what it's all about.
Okay, it's kind of a we're all in this together thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, let's talk about the scoring a little bit. Distance is part of it, and how is the distance scored?
What we have on the large hill in Westby is there's a line. It's called the K point. It's not the furthest down line. It's the red line that goes across the hill. Anybody that lands at the K point will get 60 distance points for that ski jump. But a meter short of that, they subtract 1.8 points. And if you go beyond that, they add the 1.8 points. So just depending on how far they go, that's how they calculate the distance points for the ski jump.
Okay, so they start with 60, and you either add or subtract from that.
Correct. You got it.
All right, and then there are style points.
Yeah, style has been always involved in ski jumping, and there's actually 5 different judges that are judging style. Each one of them starts with 20 points per skier. The skier starts at the top, and then what we do is the skier comes through the flight, that's one phase, and then the landing is the second phase, and then the outrun, or after the landing, before the fall line, I guess you could say, that's the third phase. In each of those phases, the judges subtract points if skiers are doing certain things or are not doing certain things based on the points and what they're worth. So, for example, if they're flying through the air and they have their arms flapping kind of wildly, we're going to subtract some points off of that. So what we do is we subtract all the points from each phase, and then we add those all up, subtract the deducted points from 20, and that's their style score. So like I said, there was 5 judges giving style points. Each judge sees it differently depending on where they are in the box. So what they'll do is they'll throw out the high and the low judge, and then the 3 middle judges' scores are kept. And that actually is the style score of the jump. So they add the style points for those 3 judges for that skier, plus the distance points, and that's the point for the jump. And then each tournament, they're given 2 jumps per tournament. It's style points for 2 jumps, and it's distance points for 2 jumps.
Okay. And is each judge looking for the same thing? There's a series of windows, and I guess a judge is in each window, right?
Exactly. And like I mentioned earlier, that telemark landing, one of the things that the International Ski Federation is really cracking down on, and then the individual countries adopt that too, that telemark landing is of the utmost importance because it's supposed to create balance when landing and some style that way. But when you're looking at it from a judge, the judge in the furthest away box might see it a little bit differently. So they might not see that landing as well as the last judge. So it just really determines on where they're landing on the hill and how the judges are seeing it. So that's why there's 5 different judges.
Do you rotate from one window to another?
No, nope, we stay in there for the entire tournament, and then we might switch if, like, say, for example, like in Westby, we have an event on Friday. The judges will get assigned to their windows. And then on Saturday, they could get redrawn, and they could be in different windows, but it'll most likely be the same judges.
Okay. What are you looking for? You mentioned flapping arms. That would be me if I were ever to do this. What else are you looking for?
Well, in the flight part of the jump, we're actually looking at the aggressiveness of the skier, their ability to take flight, their movement of their arms, their legs, their balance. And then when they're coming into the landing, we're looking for the transition into the landing phase and how smooth that is. Because if it's not really smooth, we can take points. But if it is really smooth, we just kind of leave it alone. And like I said, is there a telemark landing or not? Because if there's not a telemark landing, they automatically get 3 points taken off of their jump. And then depending on balance and different things, we can actually take more points off for that. And then when we talk about the outrun, which is the phase after they've landed, after they've contacted the snow, things like if they fall, like for example, if they fall down there, they land, and then they fall, that would be a fall deduction, and they get 7 points taken off that jump out of the 20. So it's pretty significant. Things like out of balance or they're squatting through the fall line. There's a whole number of things that the judges can look at to be able to take points off of or at least leave them there. So essentially, the skiers are looking for that perfect jump so the judges just don't take any deductions.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, what advice have you got for some of our listeners who might be going to this tournament for the first time, or even folks who've been regulars? What should they be looking for from their vantage point, which will be somewhere at the bottom of the outrun hill?
The ski jumping tournament itself is based on distance and style. Obviously, people are going to start seeing some of the long jumps, and they'll know that they're really good jumps because some of them won't be quite as far. But we've got a number of skiers that are coming from Europe, Norway, and Slovenia, and then also France that are coming here just to Westby because Westby's such a well-known hill around the world. We got skiers that are super excited about coming there. You know, you're going to see things on the hill as a spectator, but if you've never been to Westby before, you're going to see one of the most beautiful valleys in the world. It's got 6 ski jumps on the side of it where kids are training during the week on the small hills. We have this large tournament on this one weekend in Westby for the large hill, and it's just a cool place because you got a beautiful trout stream that runs right through it. In the summer, we have a golf course right at the bottom of the hill. It's a small par-3 golf course, and it's so unique because it's a very communal event. What we find is people that have never been there and then they experience it, they're like, well, we're going to make this a regular habit for as long as we can, because they have such a great time, because it's camaraderie with people they may or may not know. It's like a big tailgate at Lambeau. You know, everybody wants to be buddies. People are drinking beer, making food, doing all sorts of things. Of course, we're selling concessions on the ground. But at the same time, we're very open to making sure that people are just having a great experience, because there's nothing like it. It's a very unique place. Like I said, all of these Norwegians, Slovenians, and the French guy that's going to be coming, this is their fourth year in a row that they've been here. And this is the epitome of their season. They love coming here. It's just a true honor to be able to host them and be able to continue that worldwide footprint, I guess you could say. I'm telling you, people coming and seeing the event, first of all, if you've never seen ski jumping up close, it is the original extreme sport. And you'll see that as soon as you see somebody slinging themselves off of one of these hills.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, Matt, we've got to take a break here. Will you stay with us for a few more minutes?
Absolutely. Love to.
All right. Folks, I'm talking with Matt Coyler. He is the voice of the Westby Snowflake Ski Club Ski Jumping Tournament. That's coming up next weekend. I'm Dan Small. We'll be right back with more right after this. Want a compact fishing light that does not strap to your head? Meet Dex Fingerlight at Fingerlight.com. Fingerlight's patented Griptonite ring fits any finger, keeping your hands free to handle fishing gear, ignite a glow worm, or tinker at home. There are three light modes, and it's durable, waterproof, and rechargeable. Developed by a father and son Missouri team, Dex Fingerlight is faster and easier than a headlamp. Use discount code DanSmall15 now for 15% off on any order at Fingerlight.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me is Matt Coyler. He is a ski jumping coach and the announcer, actually the voice of the Snowflake Ski Jumping Tournament. You mentioned Europe and you were in Estonia recently. What were you doing there?
Yeah, I was honored to be selected to be a judge for the Nordic Combined World Cup that they held in Otepää about 3 weeks ago. It was my first time in Estonia, and I will tell you that it's a wonderful place to go visit. The people are wonderful, the food, it's a beautiful place, and they're really into their Nordic Combined. They have a ski jumping meet, and then they take those points, and then they have a cross-country ski meet to determine the winner of the event. So it's a two-part event. So I was there judging the ski jumping, but also got a taste of the actual racing that's going on there in the cross-country venue they had there. It was just a wonderful place. Thousands of people cheering these guys on, these guys and ladies. That's another thing. There was 38 competitors for the women's event for the World Cup, but Nordic Combined is the only sport in the Winter Olympics that does not have gender equality. So I know that we've had a number of people within the United States here that have been working very hard to try to push the IOC and the International Ski Federation to be able to have that as an Olympic event. And so hopefully in the next quadrennial, they'll have that as an Olympic event. But it was just an honor to be over in Estonia and just to have them really get to see what that country's all about and get to know incredible people in a beautiful place.
Neat. Now, you mentioned Olympics. The Winter Olympics are coming soon, and there's one, I think she has Wisconsin roots, a ski jumper folks are going to keep their eye on.
Did you talk to Estella Hasrick? Is that
that's the gal. That's the gal, yeah.
Yeah, I've known Athela since she's been a young ski jumper. I know she's trying to make her way there. I'm not sure if she's going to get on the team this year, but that doesn't mean she won't be trying in another 4 years, too. I know she's been working hard, you know, living and training in Europe. That's another thing that ski jumpers do is we have great facilities here in the United States, but it's also good to be exposed to the different competition levels over in Europe and the various parts of like either Norway or Central Europe, like Slovenia or places like that. She's involved in that. And that is the path that our national team is working because we have a collaboration with the Norwegian team with the coaching. And it's really helped our national team as a whole and really start to get them on the map for World Cup points and potential opportunities within the Olympics, podiums and things like that. So we've had a lot of success working with the Norwegians. So it's been a huge benefit that way.
Now, you mentioned Norwegians, and I can't let you go without asking about the big scandal last year with the Norwegian team. Folks who are not into ski jumping might not have heard of it. It had something to do with their suits, and it got the nickname Crotchgate. What was that all about?
Yeah, it was a big deal last year at the World Championships. What ends up happening is, just so people are aware, in ski jumping, the equipment is so very important, and we want to make sure that it's fair for all the competitors and it's not the equipment that's doing the work. So what they do is they make sure that the suits are cut very specifically, and then also that they're sewn and they're put together the same way, essentially. What happened last year at the World Championships is there was a different thread, from what I understand, a more elastic thread that was used along with some ribbing that would go through the crotch and what that does in the air. And it sounds like, why would they do that? It doesn't make a lot of sense. But actually, when you start thinking about the aerodynamics, these skiers are laying flat out over their skis. And essentially, they want as much of that air to hit the front panel of their jumping suit. And if they have more jumping suit through their crotch, that means it's an advantage.
Uh-huh.
So if there's some flexibility there, it's kind of like having a wingsuit, basically, comparatively to somebody who doesn't. So what they're trying to eliminate and what the International Ski Federation is trying to eliminate, because they want to include countries that may not have the funding to be able to support it, newcomers, like we have one skier from Thailand, there's Kazakhstan, some of these smaller countries, Estonia, I mean, for example, and to be able to do this at the highest level, there's obviously the kingpins that are in the sport, the Norwegians, the Austrians, and the Germans. But at the same time, what the International Ski Federation wants, they want to make sure that it's competitive throughout. They don't want to have the same countries winning over and over and over and over again, because essentially it turns into a four-country sport. That doesn't help how long the sport is actually valid.
Yeah.
The International Ski Federation wants to make the equipment. It's not the equipment that's making the skier. It's the skiers that are making the skiers go. That's why Crotchgate got to be such a big deal, is because now it's focused on the equipment. It's not focused on the athletes. And in fact, the coaches and the equipment personnel actually got 18 months of suspension for that.
Wow.
Pretty significant, and it's a very big deal. So they want to avoid that at all costs, the Olympics this year, because obviously ski jumping is a huge draw in Europe. It is one of the biggest sports that you can find on TV. They want to make sure things are done right. And actually, we're very fortunate because we actually have on our jury for the Olympics this year, Jessica Jerome, who's originally from Park City. She was an Olympian herself. She's actually the technical delegate assistant at the Olympics, which is a huge honor to be able to do that. So having somebody like that in that role, bringing the United States into that, the previous Olympics, we had two U.S. officials that were involved, Reid Zolke and Dan Mattoon, both originally from Eau Claire. It just goes to show that the United States has a significant part in this sport and making sure that this worldwide sport is continued by the entire world rather than just select countries.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to let you go here, but would you let us hear what it sounds like to announce? Give us a few lines of what you say as the announcer.
Well, we'd start out with, hey, welcome to Westby, this beautiful snowflake ski club. We're here with so many different skiers, and you're going to start watching some of these people going way down the hill and just realize the further they go down that hill, the harder it is to land, so the more skill it takes to be able to get way down that hill. And what I like to do is I like to make sure that people really understand the sport, because I think it's important that people, if they understand the sport, they have a little closer affinity to it, and we're always looking for people to get involved in the sport. And the great thing is we have a junior program in Westby. So if you come down and your kids are like, wow, I want to try that, we got the opportunities for them. So bring them on down. It's a family fun event, and it's just a communal pride. We've been doing it for over 100 years. This is year number 103, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful place to spend a few days.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, we thank you for sharing some insights and for getting us fired up for next weekend's big event, the Snowflake Ski Jumping Tournament here in Westby. And I'm sure a lot of our local listeners, anyway, will be there to watch the skiers and to hear you tell us all about it. Thanks a lot.
Look forward to seeing you all in Westby. Thanks for having me, Dan. Appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. Matt Coyler is the announcer, the voice of the Snowflake Ski Club Ski Jumping Tournament, and he's a former jumper himself, a junior team coach, and he's very involved in the winter sports here and around the world, actually. And you can enjoy the ski jumping tournament here in Westby, Wisconsin next weekend. You can get your buttons, that is your ticket for the weekend. You can get them online. You can get them at dozens of local retail establishments. And just ask for the button. It's $20 in advance, $25 at the door. And the website is snowflakeskiclub.com.
Hey, Dan, one thing to add to that, they're actually doing a student button this year. And I know that at the Westby Creamery, they're selling student buttons for people that are 13 to 17 years old that are in that student age, and they're a reduced cost button too. So we'd love to have everybody down there. 12 and under are free. We just want to make sure everybody's having a good time and coming on down to Westby.
All right. Well, Matt, thanks a lot for joining us and for sharing your insights and for getting people fired up for next weekend's tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad I had the opportunity to come on and talk with you and give a little bit more about ski jumping to the general public, and look forward to seeing people come down to Westby to check it out.
Yeah, well, I hope so, too. I know more now than I did 10 minutes ago, so thanks a lot. Folks, you can enjoy next weekend's event at the Snowflake Ski Club west of Westby on County Highway P. The website, again, is snowflakeskiclub.com. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio. Want a compact fishing light that does not strap to your head? Meet Dex Fingerlite at Fingerlite.com. Fingerlite's patented Griptonite ring fits any finger, keeping your hands free to handle fishing gear, ignite a glow worm, or tinker at home. There are three light modes, and it's durable, waterproof, and rechargeable. Developed by a father and son Missouri team, Dex Fingerlite is faster and easier than a headlamp. Use discount code DanSmall15 now for 15% off on any order at Fingerlite.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Pheasants Forever's National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic is coming to the Minneapolis Convention Center on the weekend of February 20th. Join us for puppy and dog training seminars, a youth village for kids, hunting seminars and gear, and more than 400 exhibitors. It's National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, the weekend of February 20th, presented by Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, and Federal Ammunition. For more information, log on to pheasantfest.org.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com, by Crestliner Boats at crestliner.com, and by Mercury Marine at mercurymarine.com. See the latest Crestliner Boats and Mercury Outboards at Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend. Crestliner and Thunderjet have announced rebates of up to $7,500 for 2026, and Mercury Marine is offering 7 years of factory-backed coverage on qualifying outboards. This offer ends on March 31st, so don't delay. If you're looking for a new boat, a new motor, great way to do it. We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and now Wapaka, ProfHearingCare.com.
Yes, Wapaka, and in fact, next week, we'll talk again to Adeline DeCry and find out about that new office. And there's a symposium coming up, too, that she'll tell us about. I wanted to get her on this week, but just had so much to talk about with Matt Coyler that we're going to push it back to next week. And if our TV show, Outdoor Wisconsin, is not airing where you happen to live, you can always watch past episodes at MilwaukeePBS.org. There's a paywall there, but you can pay, I think it's $5 a month, and you can pay for the months that you want to watch. You don't have to be a member for the whole year. And if you miss the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV show that I do once a year, every fall, that is free, and it's on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel at Deer Hunt Wisconsin.
And the radio program you hear right now is online all the time. Go to lake-link.com, go to the Outdoor Radio page, and you can download it there. You can also go to outdoornews.com/podcasts and download it there as well. Find Dan on the social media pages at Dan Small Outdoor. Find me at Hardwater Jeff.
Registration is now open for Raised at Full Draw's Summer Archery Camp in Shawnee, July 23rd through the 26th, and this camp will fill up. So if you know a youngster who would enjoy a four-day archery camp, better sign them up soon. It's in Shawnee, the 23rd through the 26th of July. For more information, visit raisedatfulldraw.com, and they are also offering skills courses this winter and spring, including turkey hunting, fur handling, and other skills. And all of that information is on their website. Just look for the events tab. And you can also register now for a DNR Hunter education class. They'll be offered throughout the state this spring, and they fill up fast, too. Find one near you on your Go Wild account or on the DNR website. The keywords, Hunter education. The DNR is seeking nominations for the Hunter Education Instructor, Hunter Education Group, and Archery Education Instructor of the Year awards. These nominations are accepted through 15th of February. To download a nomination form, visit the DNR website. Keywords there, volunteer instructor forms. And you've still got a little bit of time until next week, February 9th, to submit a resolution for the Spring Conservation Congress hearings. Visit the DNR website. Keywords there, spring hearings for details. Our partners at Mercury are giving away the ultimate fishing adventure. It's a trip for two to Ketchikan, Alaska, to fish with Mercury pro angler Rob Ensley. To enter, visit mercurymarine.com/enter now. This promotion ends on March 31st, so enter today before you forget. This week's giveaway is a Dex Fingerlight and carrying case. To enter the drawing, call 414-297-7554 or email dsoradio@gmail.com. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. His next performance is next Saturday. A lot going on next weekend, including that Super Bowl that our team's not on, but they're in, rather. But anyway, there's a lot going on. So February 7th at the Harbor Table in Washburn. The show starts at 4, and the theme for this show, just in time for Valentine's Day, is love song. So come for the show, stay for the prime rib special on Saturday night. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend, and come on out to Westby next weekend for the Snowflake Ski Jumping Tournament. And be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
Get to the perfect speed. Oh, how I love leaving the shore behind. When the cool night swallows the moose's nose and the heron is fishing on one cold leg. When the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when Crazy Ike is just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be true.